The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Hoodie and I back 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Thank you, Danny and Jeff. JR had the day off. He's back with us tomorrow. And thank you to Jeff Dickerson. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse beginning Friday, October 8th, with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting and horse racing. Get in on all the action with Hawthorne and Points Bet.
Carmen Yurko. Bop, 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 bop. What's Hello. Up, fellas?
Well, hello, Morning, boys. Morning, boys.
I got my sky blue on.
Yes, you do.
You do.
Love it.
Yes, Carmen does. And I have my Packer colors up underneath the alumni.
The Sky have a little bit of this in the jersey,
gold?
Too.
Gold?
So, yeah, right?
This doesn't, I'm not representing this guy.
Okay.
Well, I'm you could have pulled it off and said it.
Nope. For what? If I don't mean it. Why would I say it if I don't
He's
mean
got
it?
His Packer stuff on the Absolutely day. Are you not. Kidding? The day yep. after yesterday?
Right.
Oh, and he wears the Packer stuff on Friday. Packer.
Well, I think I know why. Because he's a Packer.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, geez.
Ash, I was very frustrated with yesterday's game. Yesterday's game was ultimately frustrating for me.
From Green Bay standpoint? Or?
No. From a Bears standpoint, obviously. I wanted the Bears to win, but I didn't give them much of a shot.
Right.
The Bears of winning because of Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers controls the Chicago Bears, like he had said.
Yeah.
Anybody that disagrees with his statement hasn't been paying attention.
Right.
Because he does own the Chicago Bears. You don't have to like it. That's just the way it is. Yeah. And do you know how many possessions there were in yesterday's game, both teams?
How many?
15.
I'm asking.
Nah, 17.
How many?
16. 16. Eight apiece.
Close. Eight apiece.
Wow. Eight apiece. In the possessions that mattered for the Green Bay Packers, because they had it at the end of the half really without a chance to make anything happen.
Correct.
And they had it at the end of the game just to run the clock out. They had eight possessions, six that mattered. They scored on four of the six.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns, one field goal. The Bears had eight that mattered, and they scored two touchdowns, and that's all they did.
Yeah, that's not good.
If you're going to play the slow, methodical run game without the high-powered offense, okay, if that's what you're going to do, you're going to have to find a way to be wonderfully efficient with your possessions. The Bears' offense is not wonderfully proficient, and that's a problem. That is a problem. And if you're going to play this style, you're going to have to find ways to put points on the board, at least a field goal, so you can start adding points as you go on, because watching it,
yeah,
was a little bit disappointing yesterday. I'm going to be honest.
It's
you got two
rough.
Possessions where they look like a quality offense, and you've got the rest where they look like nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's awful.
I mean, Santos is on the sidelines, like, you guys are not going to use me today, or we can't even get into can't even get a field goal.
No,
can't even get a field goal.
And when they do, they give up sacks. When they do, they give up sacks. Boy, yeah. Kenny Clark looked like a world beater right at the end of the game. He looked like he was in pain all day.
Yeah, all of a sudden,
all day the guy was in pain because every time he made a play, he was getting up from the pile slow. And then right at the end, he looked like a world beater.
Too sad. That is the Bubba Baker Jigget story.
Yeah.
Bubba Baker was declared it was going to be out. And he goes, Jigget's eligible? I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. Give my pants. I'm in.
When good old number, when they said 62 was active, all of a sudden Bubba Baker was
Bubba
active.
Bubba Baker, all of a
sudden. Yeah.
Where's my pants?
I'm ready.
I'm in.
Where do I sign up? Give me some biking and I'm ready to rock.
Okay, I want to play something
terrible,
for you.
Terrible.
This is on our post-game show on TV yesterday with me, Olin, Alex Brown, and Lance Briggs, a seven-time Pro Bowler.
That's our guy, Lance.
This is Lance yesterday talking about Eddie Jackson.
Eddie Jackson. You know, we've talked to this before, and his name keeps coming up for the wrong reasons. You know, his name keeps coming up for reasons as you are the safety. You are the last line of defense. When you come up and you make that hit on Devontae Adams and he gets past you, it's going to be a touchdown, kid. You have to make that play. Mm. Get him down by any means necessary. Don't care how you do it. Even if you shoot at the worst flag, still keeps him out of the end zone. But you got to find a way to get him down.
Okay, so after the game, Eddie Jackson, in a now deleted tweet, found a Pro Football Focus article from 2011.
Jeez. Boy, he did some deep research.
The article said that From 2008 to 11, no one had missed more tackles than Lance Briggs.
Aww.
Yeah. Then he deleted it because he realized, oh, God, that guy went to 7 Pro Bowls and was a first-team All-Pro.
Why are you deleting it?
Bad guy. Well, keep it up there if that's what you want. I mean, if you're willing to go do the research.
Right. It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. If you're willing to go do the research, you might as well just keep it up there.
Why would you, Eddie, why would you take that down?
Why is Eddie listening to anybody? Why is Eddie listening to anybody? What Eddie should do is focus on what he needs to do. His dilemma is that he doesn't think tackling is important anymore. He thinks trying to force the fumble is more important than making the tackle. He goes, just bringing the guy down is, well, sometimes bringing the guy down is important. Especially if you're bringing the guy down, A, before he can score a touchdown, so you get another crack at maybe forcing a turnover, or you make the tackle that stifles a guy and gets him short of first down on the third down play.
Mm-hmm.
See, those times tackling is very important. You know, when you leave a team at, say, 2nd and 7 instead of 2nd and 4 because you're tackling well, that forces them to do something differently on the offense. So if you understand that, you'd realize that tackling is very important. But obviously, turnovers are more important than tackling. Nobody would ever tell you it's any different. Okay? Turnovers are. But most of the game is spent tackling, and I can't remember the last time he forced the fumble.
I don't know.
Could have been this year. He might have a forced fumble this year, I think, during the year. But not enough to the point where when Peanut would do the punch.
Yeah.
When Peanut was punching, he was also bringing a guy to the ground. And I think we remember that when he did it against the Green Bay Packers, Greg Jennings, twice.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He punched the ball out after Jennings caught the ball. He punched the ball out. But he's tackling the guy as he's punching the ball out. There's a difference, and I think Eddie Jackson needs to realize that. This is a guy that was a stud. He was a stud.
Well, he was a ball hawk. Let's put it that way.
A stud. Ball hawk. You want to call him a ball hawk? A stud ball hawk. That's what he was. And he's not playing to that same level. It'd be great if he could get back to that level because that's what you need back then.
You know who knocks the ball out and tackles at the same time?
Who's that?
T.J. Watt.
Ah.
On Geno Smith last
night. Saw that yesterday.
Boy, I mean, T.J. Watt is a... That guy.
He's a monster.
Oh, he's a monster. He's a monster. He's a monster.
That is like... I mean, it's... That's like either Lovey or Trestman's time in Bourbonnais where... The quarterback, whoever it was, and the defensive line just kept batting the ball down. And, like, Lovey's like, Jiminy Christmas, let the ball go through, guys. Let the ball go through. And they wouldn't do it.
That silly argument.
They would just bat the ball down. It's like, it was instinct.
No, it was after Rex, even. It was, I remember we had
one of those 16
argument.
Quarterbacks that we mentioned last week.
Jiminy Christmas, let the ball go through, guys. Because he wouldn't swear, of course, because it's Lovey, right?
Of course not.
But, I mean, if you're a defensive lineman, that's your instinct. Like, you know what? I'm just going to keep batting the ball. That's what TJ wants. He uses his arms.
TJ's a
tremendous.
He's just
beast.
He's a beast.
By the way, there's an out on Eddie Jackson's contract after this season.
Oh. 2021.
Aren't there outs on all of them after this season?
It was scheduled for a lot of guys to have outs out of this season.
Yurko's made that point.
Like, but they've redone some contracts, which has delayed some of that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Eddie Jackson, it would still be an 18-5 dead hit.
Yeah, that's not really an out.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But the potential out is 2022. So that would be this coming spring.
And they may have given him a little bit of money.
And after 2022, it goes from 18-5 down to
9-5. Oh, there you go. That's more palatable.
So you let him play one more year, and then you launch him.
Daniel, what did you guys think of 33 yesterday?
Jalen Johnson?
What do you think of number 33?
About that. He needs to stop talking about I want the best of the best of the best. Yeah. And the one where he like dogged it with his effort at the end.
Yeah,
it's like, what are you
slot.
Doing?
Yeah. Well, that was on the long
in the middle of the field. Well, some people wanted to say that, boy, he had a nice game. Devontae Adams only had 4 receptions.
No.
He had 25% basically.
I would be,
of the receptions. He only completed 17 balls. Aaron Rodgers didn't have to be Aaron Rodgers.
He did not.
He didn't have to. They didn't call upon Aaron Rodgers to have to win this game.
They ran the ball a lot. They on cue, Waddle sent us a text, and like on cue, Matt LaFleur, I think. I don't know if he was spying on us or what, but like Waddle made the point that the Packers are going to have to fix their, you know, he referred to the Packers making some tweaks because if they do what they're doing now all game, the Bears' D-line is going to kill their O-line. And I mean, on cue, starting with the next Packers series, it was, we can't do what we probably wanted to do.
Right.
We got to run the ball. They ran it, 30?
Yeah, 31 some odd times.
They ran it 31 times yesterday. And it was, all right, it's got to be 3 and out. It's got to be more runs. Like, on cue, Waddle called it on the text chain. Matt LaFleur and that coaching staff looked at it and realized and said, yeah, we got to do some different things. Jalen Johnson, who I talked to Yurko about on Friday, I gave him the stat. I don't know if you guys saw this. Going into the weekend, Jalen Johnson
opposing quarterbacks when targeting Jalen Johnson this year, quarterback rating of 40.
Yeah.
Which is really good. And I said, Yerk, is he playing that well? Yerk said, maybe not that well, but he's getting better. And, you know,
that's the important thing. He is getting better in his second
year. And then all of a sudden, he played against the best receiver in the league this weekend.
I don't blame him for what happened this week. I don't give him any accommodation. Some people want to say, what a wonderful job he did. He held him to four passes. He only threw the ball 23 times.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't give him a ton of love, and I don't give him a ton of blame. When you go against the best, sometimes you're going to look like a fool. And at times, he did look like a fool.
And Adams is the best receiver in the league. So,
He's
incredible.
I'd say one of five. I mean, there's five really elite receivers in this league. And, you had 208-yard game, so you took the lead in reception, receiving yards and stuff like that. So when you have that one outlier game, you wait for everybody to have their outlier game, and it kind of bunches them back up in the middle. Jamar Chase is phenomenal.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, where's he going? CeeDee Lamb is incredible. So, I mean, we can go around the league and say, hey, incredible. There's incredible receivers in this
league. Except for the Bears, right. Did you see Jamar Chase blocking on the Joe Mixon touchdown?
We talked about it.
Unreal.
How great was that block? And then he let Mixon do his little dance, and then they're hugging. I'm like,
ooh, make a little love, like, get down tonight.
I mean, Jamar Chase, boys.
Okay, we asked this to Meller. Want to hear your guys' thoughts. Where does Allen Robinson rank among receivers in the NFL?
Well, the problem is I think the talent level is great, but the service he receives is poor. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the service he receives is poor. He's in a bad offense. Yeah. If Carm breaks down the numbers, we went over 17 weeks of depression every time we talked about the Bears' offense.
I keep doing it.
17 weeks of depression. He's going to have the numbers today, the accountant, Carmen DeFalco. He's going to have the numbers, and he's going to talk about 31st, 32nd, 30th.
27 of 56 games as the Bears' head coach, Matt has scored 20 or less.
So here's your problem. The problem is you got to know now what you have. You've got an offensive genius that is not an offensive genius. You've got a general manager that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. That's it. It's fine. And guess what? It's still good enough to maybe go 8-9, 9-8 this year. But it's not nearly good enough. And if you might have had something in place here, you could have been a whole lot better. So, but that's it. At some point, you realize that. The cold, hard truth, the reality, smacks you in the face like getting dunked into an ice bath.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody's got to dump one of the McClaskeys into an ice bath and let them realize what the hell's going on. Maybe Sweaty Teddy Phillips up there gets dunked into an ice bath. He'll figure it out.
Who's the owner of the Bears? What was that?
The McClaskeys.
The McClaskeys.
Yeah.
That's what Russ Grimm called them.
You don't have an ugly sweater on to say that.
No, I know. I need
one. The Hall of Fame.
Russ Grimm went to his mock interview with the media.
Oh, yeah. I want to thank the McClaskey
fans. Yeah. Early 90s. Right. Early 90s Bulls fans. Yeah.
You guys remember the bad sweater of Grimm?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank the McClaskey family.
I mean, that was so Russ Grimm, wasn't it?
My one suit's in the cleaners.
Yeah, he's doing the interview in a sweater. Like, he didn't even have a suit to put on.
That'd be 2021 Dan Campbell, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Man, when you're in the hall, you get to get away with it.
How about Urban Meyer getting the first win, huh? In London, huh? Yeah. Saad Khan, the owner of Fulham
Football Club. Did he fly back with the team, or did he stay in London?
I don't know. Yeah. How about Brian Flores throwing two challenges on back-to-back plays and losing both of them?
Oh.
That's when it's desperate.
By the way, the ball possession challenges that happened in the Bears Green Bay game, for what?
I don't know.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Matt took a timeout and then decided to challenge.
Why? Yeah. Like, why? Matt, horrible. If you're going to.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Just throw it.
It's time to go.
All right, man.
By the way, how about Coach Orgeron?
Coach, first of all, Hoodie and I said, hey, you better watch out. Florida's the better team, but they're down to their last gasp at LSU. God. LSU wins the game outright.
It's unbelievable. And again, not a sellout. Those LSU fans were selling their tickets to Florida fans. LSU still won.
Dude, there is an article down there that said there were girlfriends that were coming to practice and letting their kids run around on the field while they're practicing. Yes!
Oh, well, you know.
One of them might have been pregnant.
Some new age kids, guys. Got some new age kids. You know, these guys want a little more access to familial.
But look, we'll rip Matt Nagy
plenty. Not the old days, Johnny.
We'll rip Matt Nagy plenty, but Brian Flores is the winner for the week. Back-to-back challenges, losing them both.
Wow.
It's just awful. And I like Fred. Like, it looked like Brian was doing good things. You know, like, they're a cover darling the last year and a half, and now they should be 0-6. If not for a Damian Harris fumble, the Dolphins are 0-6.
Yeah.
All right, you guys have a great day.
All right, see you, boys. All right,
time to go, guys.
All right, thanks. I was waiting for Hoodie to go. Kick us out, Yerk.
You ready?
He's ready for us to go.
Time to go.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
We'll see you tomorrow. Hoodie,
we don't
day.
Get our extra hour. There's no extra hour today, Johnny.
Hoodie,
no,
not today. I'm finishing Squid Game today, and we'll talk about it.
All right, let's
all right.
do it.
See you tomorrow.
All right.
Carmen Yerker next. See ya.
I've been kicked out of better place.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yerko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Well, the Sky are champions, so congrats to the Chicago Sky. We got a winner in town. We could take that after the Bears get thumped again by the Packers. Failed to cover. 24-10, your final. Rodgers improves to a quite disgusting 22-5 all-time, including the playoff win against the Bears. How about that? If that ain't the biggest kick to the little guys, I mean, that makes Favre look like amateur hour at the Apollo. You know, 22-5, 11-3.
And Favre's record was exceptional against Chicago.
11-3 straight up and against the spread at Soldier Field. So, yeah, guess what? He gets to shout, I still own you.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you, but Aaron Rodgers gets to shout that to all of us. And there's not much we can do about it as Bears fans.
And I think Favre's got a handful of more losses. I think Favre's got 8 losses, but 23 victories. So 23-8. So not quite as good. He's only winning 75% of his games, not 80% of his games. So now it's about 84% of the games.
Are you telling me that these two Jamokes have 50 wins against the Bears?
I'm telling you, since 1992, they've got 45 wins.
I'm sorry. Yeah, check my math.
1992, November of 92.
45 wins.
November of 92, if I have it correctly, Carl.
You might be right.
The Chicago Bears are 13-45 against the Green Bay Packers. So I can go back and check on me, but I think I counted it last week. And let me tell you, count the and it was from the Bears' perspective. There are a lot of L's up there, kid.
It's a lot of wins.
A lot of L's. Very few green W's up there. A lot of red L's.
I'd like to be pissed about, you know, Roger screaming. I'm just more pissed at how well he's played against the Bears and his record against the Bears, and they can't figure out how to beat him. He can scream all he wants.
Score!
I mean, you know, he's screaming, I own you.
Yeah, David Bakhtiari had a tweet out there today. He goes, I can confirm exactly what he said. And then he's got the words there, the verbiage.
I own you. Here's Rodgers.
I blank and owe you.
Here's Rodgers post-game talking about it.
Sometimes you black out on the field in a good way. I definitely blacked out from a concussion, which isn't a good way. But I looked up in the stands, and in the front row, all I saw was a woman giving me the double bird. So I'm not sure exactly what came out of my mouth next.
Yeah, we know what came out of your mouth. And, and he's right. And it's
Somebody make a case where he doesn't, where he's not right.
No, you can't.
Make the case that he's not right.
And instead of being mad at Aaron Rodgers, we talked about this on Crosstalk on Hinge last week with Waddle and Sylvie. You gotta be mad at your own team. We have to continue to be mad at the
right
Bears.
Team, yes. The Bears are the team to be mad
this
at.
This is the position they're in.
Did you think the Bears were going to win this week?
I did not. I thought they'd cover. I didn't bet the Bears, but I thought they'd cover.
I did not think they were going to win. Jeff Mellor, did you think the Bears were going to win this week?
No.
They didn't win this week. Third time they finished with a final of 4-4.
But here's the problem.
This year.
All right. So you're right. They didn't win. Here's what still is just, it gets tough to take. And we got way too many games to play here before we really start to get a definitive idea on Fields. I mean, we see good and bad like we said we would, right? That's a young quarterback.
Young quarterback.
Is it a little scary that the big knock on him, that the doubters, their knock was, this kid, he holds the ball too long. Is it a little scary that you can flat out see it? Maybe. Like, Justin, what are we doing? That's a little scary. But it's way too. There's still many good things. There are many good throws. Right. There's the scrambling ability.
We didn't get on Mitch.
There's a long way to go.
Nobody got on Mitch after the first year. Nobody got on Mitch after the second year. When you have to make a decision on the quarterback, that's when you start having to make a final analysis. When they had to decide whether they were going to pay Mitch or not pay Mitch for that fifth season being guaranteed, that's when they had to decide what the hell they were going to do.
Any draft pundit or analyst right now, or anybody who maybe has an issue with they shouldn't have drafted Fields, can look at the small data and say, told you, holds the ball too long. It's going to be a problem. He'll never fix it. Hopefully he fixes it. And we cannot make a determination yet. So
while it's been up and down and it's been sporadic, got a long way to go. Here's why we should all be mad as Bears fans, and this is what continues to bug the ever-living hell out of me. 14 points. This is the fourth time in six games that the Bears failed to crack 300 yards of offense. The Bears are dead last in the NFL through 6 weeks in yards per game.
32nd.
In yards per play.
32nd.
They're dead last. Justin Fields is completing 53.5% of his passes.
Nobody
for just 6.4 yards per attempt.
Nobody does that. Quarterbacks don't do that since Marino and the guys were playing.
Please.
You know?
Oh, please.
Boomer Esiason completed 53% of the balls.
I was going to say, you got to go back to like...
Well, it's the mid-80s where they were doing that, Carm.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the
late 70s, mid-80s, yeah.
Steve Young was the first guy in that West Coast offense with the short passing game where they started to develop that
like
kind of mentality.
Yeah, you're right.
That was the group that started developing that passing game
Walsh. Other than that, it's, you know, throw it 40 yards down the field and hope. And so passing completion percentages were going to be about 55%.
So this 50%. Offense is harking back to the late 70s, early 80s.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Dead last, guys. Dead last in yards per play, in yards per game. And if you go back, and I've kept the tracker now for quite some time, to the start of the 2019 NFL season. We got a big data sample there all of a sudden, guys. Right? You got a big sample. You got 64. Is that 70 games? Is my math right on that
70
year?
70 games, Carl.
Now you're talking about 70 games where the Chicago Bears are bottom five in just about every major statistical category on offense in the NFL. Counting stats.
That's bottom 15%
metrics,
of the league.
You know, like rate statistics. Counting statistics, the Bears are in the bottom five of just about every significant and important telltale offensive statistic in the NFL. This is Matt Nagy and this coaching staff.
Two areas to blame. Who do you want to blame? I can blame the coaching staff who thought we're getting an offensive genius in here, and obviously there's no offensive genius here by any stretch of the imagination. Two, I can blame the guy who evaluates the talent and brings the talent in here, because on the offensive side of the football, with that offensive line specifically, they have not done a good job.
Amen, my friend.
Period. So the combination of the two,
bringing
the people in on the offensive side of the ball and the guy that's coaching it, who theoretically is an offensive genius, who never has really done a damn thing at Kansas City, we inherit him, we get him, he's still here. It lies between the two of them, the problem.
Yes, agreed. Roster construction is poor. You've neglected important positions. You've got a makeshift offensive line. Once you can't add the sixth offensive lineman and just run the ball, you see this offense. They can't protect him. Now, some of it's on Justin. I get it. And we're going to play some Greg Olsen highlights that, you know, I think Greg's very good, by the way. I mean, he's going to be really good, I think. I like, and the Bears have had him a couple of times.
Oh, they've seen that he seems to be the permanent fixture here.
I think Greg's going to be good,
between
though.
Between him
like
and
him.
Vilma, right? Jonathan Vilma?
Vilma, yeah.
We seem to get the Vilma-Olsen combination here every other week.
Some of it's on Fields, but they can't. When they've got to just go 5-on-5, it looks like they really can't protect him. So your roster construction is poor. Key areas, you haven't done a good enough job, whether it's signing guys or developing guys. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to start assigning percentages, I might say 65-35 on Nagy? Is that, or is, I don't know, would people say Pace is more to blame? I'm not sure. But.
I'd pull it more, Carm, to 65-35.
That's
Nagy?
That's what I said. 65-35 Nagy.
I thought you said 75-25.
65-35 Nagy.
I think you got it. You hit it on the head.
Okay.
That's where I'd have it without hearing you correctly. I'd put it right there.
So it's bad.
Yes. Yes. It's bad. It's horrific. And but the problem is, with this coaching staff, you're good enough to be mediocre. Right? You're good enough just to be mediocre. Imagine if you'd have gotten the right guy.
I know.
What you might have been able to do.
I don't know what's going to happen when they play good teams and they have to come from behind. It just doesn't seem like they're capable. And this week, they're going to play a Tampa team. The one thing the Bears can do is run the ball. Nobody's run the ball against Tampa.
2.9 a carry against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And teams have just basically gone into games saying, forget it, we're not even going to try. Does Matt Nagy have the ability, and this coaching staff have the ability, to devise something to still move the ball, to score points, to take advantage of a Bucs defense that has nobody healthy in their secondary? Nobody. There's not a healthy player in that secondary. Do we have any confidence that the Bears will still be able to win some sort of a chess match against Tom Brady and Bruce Arians? I don't know.
If you thought our offensive line was getting pushed back by this Green Bay defensive unit, okay? You wait to see what Tampa Bay's bringing up there. I mean, Whitehair. And listen, if you only have 25 passes, right, he's got 25 opportunities to go up against the guy. You can beat the guy 20 times, right, and five times he could beat you. Well, it's not a great grade. If you get beat five times, right, you've got to be even. You've got to be even all the time. You've got to keep that guy out of the backfield. I didn't know who was going to tackle Justin Fields or sack him first, whether it was going to be Mustafer's backside or Whitehair's backside. Because the one gear they have is reverse.
Backwards.
That offensive line has got the reverse gear. They can go backwards.
We'll take some Bears calls. It's a Bears Monday brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. 312-332-3776. Let us know what you think here. And I don't know. I don't even know if it has any benefit to really start allying or assigning blame. But
Because it's early in the season, Carm.
We feel like we have to because, again, we lose to the Packers as Bears fans.
You're going to have to find a way to win something nobody thought you were going to win.
Bears are 3-3. Yeah, can you go into Tampa and win? 312-332-3776. Thoughts about Fields, the performance of the offense, lack thereof, or the pitiful performance that it was. I want to play a bunch of sound for everybody. Greg Olson, I thought, was really good and diagrammed a few situations where yeah, some of it's on Fields, but again, a lot of it goes back to what they're designing and what they're calling offensively. That is a real head scratcher, even for guys that played the game. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
So today we check in with Cam Oliver.
Well, Joe, it wasn't more than 3 weeks ago that Bears head coach Matt Nagy told us how much he loved calling plays, but since then he has given up that duty. He also told us that just the other day he has been awesome and that he is in a very good place as a head coach.
As he gives it up to Bill. So today we check in with Cam Oliver.
Well, Joe, it wasn't more than 3 weeks ago that Bears head coach Matt Nagy told us how much he loved calling plays, but since then he has given up that duty. He also told us that just the other day he has been awesome and that he is in a very good place as a head coach.
It's so special we had to play it twice.
They did that twice?
Did you get that? No, well, we did it twice because it's so special. Did you get that report? Matt Nagy told Pam Oliver that he's been awesome since giving up play calling duties. It's a you-know-what show up there. It really is. Oh, he's been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to him.
Awesome.
Brutal.
He still doesn't know when to throw a challenge flag.
Yeah.
I mean.
No clue. He doesn't have a feel for it.
And
you know?
What is he challenging that play for?
Doesn't make any sense, guys. It's not anything of any weight, you know?
I don't get it.
Now, listen, Brian Flores
called the timeout to do it. He called the timeout to do it. Brian Flores still wins the week.
What did Flores do?
Back-to-back challenges, he lost them both. He challenged, I don't know who's telling him. I don't know. Listen, today, I don't want to call for anybody to be fired, but if you're the Miami Dolphins, you got to go to the guy in the booth that signals down and says, hey, listen, you got to pack
your
stuff.
Time for you to go.
I mean, I don't know what he's looking at.
Time for you to go. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
What's his name? Who's Jamal Agnew, right? The punt returner. So they challenge whether Gesicki had a catch or not to move the chains. He doesn't. I mean, it was pretty clear. The ball hit the ground. Now, they're in fourth and one in field. I mean, maybe even think about going for it there. You had the lead, fourth and one, but okay. He punched the ball, and I don't know why Jamal Agnew was so close to a bounding ball, but he was. And on first view, you might think, oh, my God, did that touch him? Dolphins player grab it. They're celebrating in the end zone. But the official immediately says, no, touchback, never touched him. Now, like, 90 seconds pass, Yurk. I'm not kidding. Like, they're changing, you know, the units are coming out. The offense is coming out on the field. Defense is coming out on the field. The stadium's played the replay three times. I don't know. It clearly never touches him. And right as they're about to snap the ball, he's throwing the flag. So, but he's got, Brian Flores has his own issues. Matt Nagy's another one, though. I mean, he's calling timeout.
It's wishful thinking.
To then throw a flag on a bad challenge that he wasn't going to win?
Yeah. It's bad.
No. Isn't that the one he won, though?
That is the one.
But here's the problem.
Then they came back and got the first down.
That was the point, is you have to think that through because so they awarded on the field the first down. So, what you're winning here is the potential for, instead of them giving them a first down, you make it fourth and short, which I understand.
And they went for it anyway.
In this day and age, you have to know they're going to go for it. Yeah. And it's still so early in the game. Now you're making sure that your next challenge, you have to win. Yes. Otherwise, you've lost all your challenges.
Not only did you burn it, but you had to figure at fourth and inches that the Packers are going to go for it. And they did. That was the QB sneak. Rodgers had the QB sneak.
They're not punting in that situation.
Matt Nagy can tell Pam Oliver that, hey, everything's great and he's awesome and he misses play calling duties because he loves it. But I don't think it's all that awesome. I mean,
it's not that awesome. And then Bill Lazor, realizing the talent he has, the only way I can win a football game or keep this thing respectable and close is by running the most generic version of any offense that you have to run. That's it. And then your quarterback does miss Allen Robinson when he's running wide open down the field.
Here, I'll play that.
Just doesn't see him at all.
This is Greg Olson's take on that. I'm missing A-Rob way right down the middle of the field, streaking wide open. This was in the second quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Fields boots, steps away from Clark. Thought about heaving one run. Now he'll run, which we've not seen him do much. He's stopped by Rashawn Gary. Gets close to a first down. Had his eyes downfield. Did he have anything there?
I think he's got Allen Robinson here. They blew the coverage.
Oh, boy.
He's trying to find him. I'm not sure what spooked him, but they got the look they wanted on the play action, kind of half boot. They were trying to take a shot. It just didn't seem like Justin Fields could find him in the midst of the pressure.
Justin Fields got to throw that ball.
And was he under pressure in that one? I saw him kind of roll left.
He had time.
He drifted left.
Yeah.
He's got to realize every time he drifts, the offensive line doesn't anticipate he's going to be drifting. You know, unless, obviously, it's a called play where you're doing a little bit of a rollout left or a little bit of a low rollout right. When he drifts, he changes the angles of what these guys are doing and how they're blocking. So if he starts to get outside the pocket and the defensive lineman just starts to run upfield, well, I'm not worried about it because my quarterback's in the pocket. Well, not anymore. He's outside of us, so he's susceptible to getting more pressure and quick pressure and now pressure.
Does he need to do a better job of just climbing the pocket instead of looking to
if there's an ability to climb? I saw him climb against Detroit. Climb the pocket all day, Carm.
Yeah.
Because he was comfortable climbing the pocket. When he sees or feels pressure coming from the inside, he has a tendency to want to drift.
This is Olsen being critical of a sack that he took. Like, this was the third and 15. This was already after a sack that backed him up. I mean, this is basically the game. Game's kind of
right,
on the
right
line
at
here.
The end, right
and
at
you're
the
sort
end.
Of brushing up against the edge of field goal range where you could have kicked the field goal and then get a stop, get the ball back.
This is the one where he drifted right.
Yes,
number 70
correct.
Was there.
Correct. Here's
and then 70 doesn't do anything. He just watches the guy run upfield.
Here's Olsen.
All right, so now you find yourself in third and real long, right? So, of course, if they have a shot down the field and they can convert the third down, of course, that's ideal. But if not, give yourself your kick, give your kicking team, give your field goal unit as makeable a field goal as you can. You're still going to need a touchdown and a field goal at some point. So you got pushed behind with the sack. That's okay. Don't force this ball downfield and make it a 60-yard field goal.
They're down 15. Packers bringing an extra man. Fields in trouble. And sacked again by Clark again. He did the one thing you really couldn't afford for him to do, and it drives him all the way back to the 48-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, again, two downs ago. Kenny Clark wins again. You know, give him credit. He's kind of taken over this drive, but I mean, you got to understand the situation, Jerry, right? You got to understand, I don't need to pick up the first down. I just got to pick up some yards and give myself a chance to kick the field goal. I'd be down 7. I can stop the clock. I got the 2-minute warning. Those are just young mistakes of a guy learning the NFL.
All right, and then coming out of the break, when he had time to look at the play again, Greg Olsen hit the telestrator and came out of the break with this.
We talked about game management sometimes, Joe. Sometimes you just have to understand the circumstances, right? Give him a play that just gives him a chance to just get the ball out of his hand and put yourself in a manageable, right? There, look how deep the routes are. He's looking to throw. Not one guy's out of his break, right? He's clearing it out. He's trying to get, but we don't have time. Right? He's got nowhere to throw the ball. And then instead of throwing it away, he's forced to take a sack. Don't put your young quarterback in that situation. But now it's 4th and 25 where the game's over.
So Olsen looking at that play and putting a little bit on the coaches, too, where they were right up against the edge of field goal range. And you don't need all of it, really, because you can kick the field goal, still get the ball back, and you're still down a score. So.
And on the 4th down play, 4th and 25, you've got a holding call anyway. So even if you do complete the bomb, and you make it a 3-point game, it's coming back because you've got a holding call and it's going to be 4th and 35.
312-332-3776. Larry's on the south side. What up, Larry?
What's up, Blair?
Yeah, there's some bad things that happened in that game. Specifically, two things I want to point out. They didn't call it on the offsides, which it was a blatant offside.
Yeah, that looked like it. It sure looked like it. I thought it was a free play instantly, but we'll talk about that in a minute, too.
Okay, and another thing was, let me just say this about this. They left like three field goals with the 50-yard field goal. They got the best kicker in the NFL right now. They're not using them like they should. The 9 points they left out there. And one more thing, when Rodgers tried to become a blocker,
yeah, he blocked
you
Robert Quinn.
Take him out. You got to take him out.
He went right to block Robert Quinn. Yes. First of all, Larry, you better be careful saying that Cairo Santos is the best kicker around here. Meller's going to make sure you never come on again. I mean, Justin Tucker, right? Meller is the best kicker.
Listen, I mean, he can be wrong if he wants, loudly wrong, but
too many. Again, I mean, how many missed kicks? Again, it seemed like there were a lot of missed kicks yesterday.
You know how you know he's not Minnesota, the best kicker, though? And you know how you know? Is because from 57, they won't even attempt it.
No,
they won't go.
Like, Justin Tucker, can I tell you something? Anything inside of 60?
Yeah, they're going.
They're
going
to give it a shot, probably. Yeah.
And real quick, even more disappointing than what happened at the end with the offense, you got three timeouts, 2-minute warning. Your defense needs to stop them. And they ran through them like a hot knife through butter.
True.
Had their best and most successful running,
which sucks,
right at the end of the game when you're trying to make your stop.
We'll talk about that offsides play. Was it or wasn't it? And what is the responsibility of the quarterback? I'm sitting on my couch at home. I instantly think free play, but I'm not the quarterback of the Bears in the game. That led to an interception. Now, it's basically a punt there anyway because he threw it in the back of the end zone. They weren't getting that. They were punting anyway, right?
You're right,
like, I mean,
right.
So, but still, like, Fields sort of said afterwards that, like, it shifted momentum. And the Packers came down and scored on that subsequent drive. They had to go 75 yards, but they did to tie the game. I want Yurko to talk about that when we come back next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yurko, I just told you this hour is brought to you by Twin Peaks, right? Guess what, everybody? Yurko and I are going out to Twin Peaks Warrenville this Friday for another one of our Football Friday shows. Now, this is not our regular on-the-air show, our over-the-air broadcast here.
No.
On the 50,000-watt mofo, ESPN 1000.
This is a special podcast.
This is a special Football Friday podcast.
Yes, it is.
So when our show's done at noon, Yurko and I hop in our cars. We drive out to Twin Peaks Warrenville.
Yeah.
We love that place. We haven't been there in a while because of COVID. You know, I mean, we didn't do any Football Fridays last year.
No, we did not.
But I miss it. We're going to go to Twin Peaks in Warrenville. We'll be there from 1 to 3. We'll say hi. We'll talk football. We'll tape a special football podcast for the ESPN Chicago app. Have a few of their fantastic old fashions because they make a good one at Twin Peaks.
They are wonderful.
By the way, did you know that it's Old Fashioned Week in America?
I did not know.
Now it's not only a day, now it's a whole, I mean, I like it. I love old fashions. It's a whole week. We got to bounce around all the restaurants and try what they're doing with their old fashions this
week.
You're
going to have to, Carm. You're going to have to. I stopped by at the Oakbrook Terrace Twin Peaks on Saturday, Carm.
Nice, you're right by me.
Stopped in there, said hello to Josh, our good buddy Josh that runs the joint over there. Said, hi, how are you? Good to see you, young man. We're busy. You were getting stuff done. You know, we had to get the trip to Pinehurst is around the corner.
Oh, I got you.
So it's 24 days away, so we had to get some stuff done out that neck of the nape out by you, Carmen.
Come say hi to Yurk and me this Friday, Twin Peaks, Warrenville. Have lunch with us 1 to 3 and be there live when we tape the special Football Friday podcast. The free play, like, I see it happen live on my TV. I'm thinking, of course he jumped. That's a free play. And I think, obviously, Justin thought that. He's going downfield. You know, Mitch used to always throw it 3 yards on a free play. At least we don't have to deal with that anymore.
That's true.
Justin's like, oh, I'm going to go downfield. Now, where did he fail, though? Because there was no flag.
So
is it the incumbent, Yurk, upon the quarterback to actually
periff
and look
to make
for a flag?
Sure the flag is flying, yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Not that difficult, Carm.
Not just look at the lineman and think, oh, he's got to throw a flag.
There's the whole process that you get to see here. If you look out, you get the snap, you just turn your eyes to your right. As you turn him back downfield, it's the reaching in the pocket.
Are you looking for the line judge?
Any of the process, yeah. The line judge up on the side that's at the line of scrimmage. In the process, any of it, he's reaching for the flag. He's got it out. You see it, it's coming out.
And now
you see the flag in the air. Now you know you got yourself a free play. It was a weird play, Carl.
Boy, it looked offside.
Can I tell you why it was a weird play? The guy jumped. The reaction from your left tackle.
Jason Peters.
Jason Peters was slow.
Okay.
He didn't react instantaneously. If he'd reacted instantaneously, he'd have then moved. It would have been, they've got to stop the play because now you've got a little illegal procedure, too. But the illegal procedure took place because the guy jumped across the line of scrimmage. So the question was, with that delay, the guy went up. Did he get back out of the neutral zone? Because when Peters moved, the ball was being snapped.
Hmm.
So as Peters was taking his step, the ball is being snapped. So you saw him step inside. They continued on with the play. He had to get back out to block the defensive end. So his first jab step was inside because he's reacting to what he saw inside. But the ball was being snapped.
So you think maybe it was the right call?
I think it could be split second ask. You slow it down.
Hmm.
Yeah, he gets out. He moves, but the ball's being snapped as he moves.
Kind of served as a punt anyway, but still, I thought it was unfortunate.
But it's incumbent upon the quarterback. He's got the ball in his hand. He's responsible for it. Okay. He's got a priff to see if the flag's there. I think they asked Aaron Rodgers that question.
Yeah,
and Aaron Rodgers says you got a priff that
he's
got to
know. Too,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
You got to see the flag fly. And he's as cool as a cucumber back there. Fields looks pretty cool sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Fields looks like he's under control back there. You just turn, you see the flag fly. It's instantaneous, a tenth of a second tops.
I think it'll be okay. They just got to work on, listen, when we're processing, like, get it out. Know where to go. Get the ball out. I mean, but there's still a lot of things to really like. The arm talent, the legs. I mean, there are a lot of things to like. Aaron's on the northwest side. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how you guys doing? First-time caller. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I got it. I just kind of wanted to comment. You guys were talking about the when Greg Olsen was mentioning that sometimes they just need to give the quarterback the right opportunity, that the routes were too deep.
Yes.
On that particular play, if you watch it, when Greg Olsen, he actually goes to the replay and they're showing the overhead view of the routes that the receivers are running. I'm not exactly sure which receiver it was because I couldn't see. But the receiver that was on the second to the top for the Bears, or the Justin Fields is right. When he's running his route, it looks like he's going to run a post route. And as soon as he gets past the middle linebacker, that whole middle of the field was wide open. But he keeps running to the post right into double coverage. And I'm just wondering, are our receivers like not allowed to improvise a little bit in a route like that where he could see that the middle of the field is open and just jump into it?
No, the quarterback has to know where he's going.
Thanks, Aaron.
The quarterback can't anticipate a throw. When you're throwing a ball like that, you've got to know where your guy's going to be. If he starts, Andre Rison was the king of the improvisation. And that's why he got released by the Jacksonville Jaguars, because Mark Brunell couldn't trust him. How do I trust the guy to run the route he's supposed to run when he's not running it? You can't improvise on your routes unless there's an option route. When there's an option route, that means he's got a two-way go depending upon the coverage. He and the quarterback need to be on the same page when he decides to break off and run the route that calls for on this option route.
It's a good question, Aaron. And there you go. Yurko can explain it to you.
He can't single-handle it. The receiver can't say, hey, there's a big void. Now,
when a receiver finds a void in the zone, that's against zone defense, though, right?
No, but here's where it can happen, though. If your QB scrambles.
Okay, yeah, well.
If your QB's in trouble, he gets out of pocket. Now you're breaking stuff off no matter what.
Well, he was kind
of
scrambling.
And then you can improvise.
He was rolling out.
But did he run his initial route to its completion before he improvised?
I don't know. I'd have to go
back and look. So that's the question you ask yourself. Yeah. So I can't say yes or no right now. Only the receiver could tell you that he ran his route to its completion, and then he started to scramble around.
Mm-hmm. All right, we want to take more Bears calls. It is a Bear Monday. They lose again to the Packers. Rodgers now 22-5 all time. Yeah, Bears are 3-3.
Wonderfully mediocre.
Vikings are 3-3. Lions, of course, are winless, and the Packers are going to walk to this division.
And we knew that at the beginning of the year.
5-1 now? I think the Packers and the Cowboys are both going to probably walk to their division, right? Maybe Minnesota has something to say. I don't know. Minnesota's goofy. I mean, they almost gave that game away yesterday. They had a lead. We almost got murked. I'll tell you that story. We almost got murked in that game badly. But their offense is playing really well, man. They got weapons galore on that offense, don't they? And, like, Justin Jefferson had a quiet game. Adam Thielen is still a marvel. Fantastic. Osborne's been great. What is he, in his second year now, I think, KJ Osborne? He's been really – is it second or third year, Meller? Maybe third year?
I'll have to look that up. I'm not
sure. He's been really good. He had the great touchdown catch in overtime yesterday. And coming up, I want to give you another example of, you know, sometimes what the good organizations do from a coaching standpoint and what the bad ones do. And why maybe we can glean a little something into as great as Rodgers is, that impressive record the Green Bay Packers have over the Bears over these many years. 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.
You like that?